The world by wisdom knew not God. This statement made by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, written to the Corinthians, is Scripture's solemn sentence against the philosophies that existed in the days of Paul. Now, no one would think of denying the greatness of Socrates as a philosopher. In fact, among the Greeks, he was the chiefest of them all. And yet, all his wisdom left him groping in the darkness of his own maxim, namely, and I quote, "One thing I know," he said, "that I know nothing," unquote. Now, such must ever be the case with every philosopher, every reasoner, everyone who thinks he has power in himself to solve Pilate's question asked of the Lord, "What is truth?" You'll recall that after asking that question, Pilate turned and walked away from Christ. And beloved listener, when a man turns away from Christ, who is the truth, he can only grope in the darkness of uncertainty. And this leads to eternal destruction. Talking to a young man the other day who has been absorbed by the philosophies of his college, he remarked, quote, "I don't need God. I don't need anyone. I have the answer in myself. There is no God. There is no hereafter." Alas, how sad to see one who has closed his eyes and ears to the truth of God that may be known, and one who is thus in the bondage, the darkness of his own wisdom, which is absolute and utter foolishness with God. In fact, it's more serious than that. As James tells us, it is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, that which produces envying and strife and confusion and every evil work. How this is seen all around us today. Now, in contrast to this, this wisdom by which the world knows not God, I would draw your attention to what the Lord Jesus says in John 8. Quote, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He also goes on to say, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." What is truth? Where can I find the truth? Can I know the truth? Perhaps these are questions that you are asking, and I trust so, because, beloved listener, we have the answer for you in the Word of God. You can know the truth if you will only turn the ear of your heart to the source of truth. And when you do, you will be delivered from the darkness of doubt. Now, the Bible speaks with clarity and authority as to this. Hundreds of times in its divine pages, we find the word know, K-N-O-W. And it is always in connection with the truth that it conveys. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one through whom this truth comes. And he himself declared when he was here, "I am the truth." And of the Bible that sets him forth to us, he says in speaking to the Father, "Thy word is truth." Now to that word, oh, let me ask you to turn with me today in these few moments with the book and permit me to point you to a few of the wonderful truths that we may know by faith. And when we receive them by faith, we shall be set free from all the darkness of the vain and empty philosophies of men, and by the truth be brought into the glorious light of knowledge, true knowledge, and certainty forever. The first scripture that I would ask that you turn to is found in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, and I read, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What a blessed knowledge this is that comes to us through the Scriptures. The Son of God is come. God's word is true, and it has revealed to us that the Son of God has come into this world and has given us an understanding. It is faith in the revelation of the Son of God that gives us to know, to have an understanding of all things. Apart from this revelation, we have no understanding. We are in the darkness. Like Socrates, we would have to say, I know nothing. But we know him that is true. Any understanding that we have of anything, of any truth, is vitally in connection with him who is true. We are in him that is true. When God reveals his Son to us and we receive him by faith, we are thus vitally linked with him. And so thus, the knowledge that the Scriptures impart in that the Son of God has come is the understanding that he gives. Next, you will notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, a very remarkable scripture of the apostle, when he magnifies the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and I read verse 9, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We have for us here revealed that it was grace that brought the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into this world. And he was rich. Certainly this was not true of him when he was in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, as he walked the Sea of Galilee and its shores. No, he had nowhere to lay his head. When was he rich? He was rich as the eternal Son with the Father. And in grace he left the outward display of that glory that he had and came and became man, God manifest in flesh. And why was this? For our sakes he became poor. He had nowhere to lay his head when here. He was put into a borrowed sepulcher when he was crucified. This beloved Savior manifested the grace that has come to us, emptying himself, experiencing the poverty so great that none of us can imagine, that we might be rich, that we through his poverty might be rich. The grace then is what we are acquainted with, and the revelation of the word brings forth the grace that has comprehended for us and apprehended us for the riches of the glory of his grace. So we know that by the grace of God through the Scriptures, the one who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ is enriched with that which is of eternal value. The riches of this world can never satisfy. They can only be tarnished. They can pass away from us, or we from them. But those who are acquainted by grace through faith with the riches of Christ Jesus are enriched with the unsearchable riches that shall endure forever. Next, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we read another one of these truths that we know and without a doubt can rest upon and rejoice in. Ye know, verse 5, that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. To have right thoughts about the person of Christ is to see him as the sinless one, the holy one who knew no sin, and this must be so. Sin was the question that had to be settled. Our sins had separated us from God, and this is what has blinded us to our natural condition, having alienated us from God as well. But the blessed Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who is come and given us an understanding, who has brought grace to deal with us, to enrich us with his riches, is the one who was manifested to take away our sins. This involves the work of Calvary. Nothing short of this could put away our sins. There he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. If we are to be brought to God, we have to have our sins removed. Let me ask the listener, are your sins removed from you? Or are they still upon you? Are you identified with your sins? Or have you received the revelation of God that Christ died for your sins, and you have accepted him as your substitute, and you believe that he died for your sins, and thus, as your substitute, he sets you free? Your sins are gone. Thank God that the blood that he shed cleanses the sinner from all sin. We know that he has come and was manifested to take away our sins. How blessed is the forgiveness that we have. Do you desire to have this forgiveness? Let me tell you what the Word of God declares. The knowledge that you may have of the possession of the forgiveness of your sins, whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness suggests the taking away of your sins, the removing them from you, and casting them into the depths of the sea. Behind his back, as far as the east is from the west. Now in 1 John chapter 5, we have another truth, one of these precious truths that we may know. We read in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is absolutely true in regards to that which would distinguish all men. In fact, there are only two classes of people in the world religiously. Those that have the Son of God who has come, who has manifested grace to enrich us, who has come to take away our sins. Those that have him have life. Those that have not life. It's just as simple as that. And right this moment, as you listen to these moments with the book, you are in the position of one or the other, having Christ or having him not, having life or still dead in trespasses and sins. But the scriptures are written to us that we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ may know that we have eternal life. That's verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Does my reader have this blessed assurance and certainty? It's not a hope-so salvation that the scriptures present to us. It is not that which you might be in doubt about. Rather, it is that which gives certainty and assurance. If you have trusted him as the one who was manifested to take away your sins, if you have seen him as the one that died in your stead and was raised the third day according to the scriptures for your justification, you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life is a necessary possession if you are to escape the damnation of eternal punishment. Your sins and mine deserve eternal judgment. But the blessed Son of God has been manifested to take our sins away, and then we know that believing on him, which implies a trusting in him, a personal appropriation of him as our own personal Savior, if we believe on the name of the Son of God, we may know, K-N-O-W, that we have eternal life. What a contrast is this to all the philosophies of men. Man's religion, which only says hope for the best. No man can know. Thank God the Bible tells us that we can know. And God wants you, beloved listener, if you have trusted Christ, to rejoice in the knowledge that he has received you and imparted to you eternal life, and you shall never perish, and neither shall anyone pluck you out of his hands. We also read in connection with this, in regards to the prayer of the Lord to the Father in John 17, he says, this is life eternal, that ye might know he, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The possession of eternal life and the faith that is necessary for its possession is faith in a person. And faith in a person means the acceptance of the person. Let me ask, do you know him whom to know is life eternal? It's the knowledge of Christ that sets us free. Ye shall know the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the knowing of him is a revelation of him through his word received by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These truths that we have presented to you today, just a few of the very wonderful, marvelous, and multitudinous truths from the Bible in connection with what we may know, are his words. Words that he would desire that you expose yourself to. Let me urge you to take up this book. Read it in hunger of your soul, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And you'll be able to say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Notice the certainty of the Scriptures, how they impart assurance and peace to the soul of the believer. In knowing him, I know whom I have believed. Personal faith in him gives you the persuasion that what you have yourself committed to him, he shall keep. He shall save your soul. He shall keep your soul. You shall be presented with him to be with him forever in the glory above. What a contrast to the philosophies of men. There is no God, no hereafter. Men are only deluding themselves into this supposition. It is that wisdom which is devilish. There's no peace in it. There's nothing but confusion and strife and destruction and darkness. God grant that today you may turn to the truth and thus be set free from the darkness of unbelief, the uncertainty of the philosophies of men and their destruction, I repeat. And then, you know, as long as we are here with the Apostle Paul, then we can say in Romans 8:28, a verse that is a comfort to the people of God as we wait the coming of Christ from heaven. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. His coming is near. We wait that for sure. It may take place at any moment. We shall be raptured to the glory. But until then, we can rest upon Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There's nothing in the philosophies of men that will give this assurance and peace and even joy in the midst of trial and affliction. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. If you knew him, you would love him. And you may know him through the revelation of himself and his word. And the knowledge of him will set you free. God grant that today you might turn in simple faith to this one. Read your Bible, dear friend, and may the Spirit of God open your eyes, deliver you from darkness, and give you certainty and assurance forever. Loving God, our Father, we ask that thou will bless thy word today. Impart knowledge and assurance through the light of the Holy Scriptures in the knowledge of thy beloved Son. We ask this on behalf of every listener, for the glory of the Son of God, and in his precious and worthy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.